Good afternoon, good evening. Welcome back to another Team List Tuesday. I am joined by Paulie and Floggy. How are you doing, boys?
Good, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Just sitting back, relaxing, enjoying a couple of lemon squashes. Thanks to a couple of people. So,
enjoying that. How about you? Be related to Bundy Mixer that we're about to talk about. Good segue.
Mate, it could be. It could be related. How are you, Floggy?
Here he is. Man, I'm doing good. I've had finally had a bit of luck with the fantasy gods this week. So I did hit 1,000, but then the recalcs dropped me back down about 15, 16 points. But finally got one right. So let's see how we go this week.
Let's do this. So I'm going to have a bit of a chat straight up with Mixer. Floggy, I might need you to just keep an eye for me just to let me know if Val Holmes gets ruled out or not.
Yeah, so, well, the news, especially Jack DeBellin fought, and he's lost. So it's a pretty bad act to follow, but we'll see how we go.
So, yeah. All right. Paulie, Mixer, let's talk it.
Yeah, so obviously the scores are getting wildly varied at the moment with some of the big names. Well, we had the worst case scenario, the laid out of Jess Sergis, and because it was such an early start, I think a lot of people would have missed that, myself included. Yep. But then people that have hit on the right people, they're up over, I think, 1,000. I think the top score is at the moment. So you're seeing a big variance, but it is a longer season than last year, so I wouldn't get too panicked about being a bit behind. I think you'll see, with only six players to choose from, that can adjust pretty quickly. So for mine, just stick at it. I mean, anyone that boosted Cleary last week was in a good position, same as in fantasy. So that could happen again, you know, whether it be this week. Maybe there's not as obvious one. I don't think Cleary's got a great matchup this week. To be even in, potentially, I might fade him completely from Mixer, you know, just to be different. Yep. I think the key with Mixer is you just got to really work out what you're doing in regards to not trying to be too much the same as everyone else. But obviously, you're still looking for some, you know, solid scores. Because if you if you come on too, if you're going too risk reward, you just end up getting end up potentially getting too low scores. But you're looking at those guys where, you know, they're base and girls who are 40, and then but they have the potential, like a Payne Haas. That's why I always like Haas in Mixer, because even his low scores, they're still pretty good. And the hot, like a 90, he could crack out a 90 any given week.
Yep. And after two rounds, Paul, we're starting to see a couple little trends, particularly around different women's teams. The Titans have really burst out of the blocks these first couple of rounds. They've got some really relevant Mixer players. And overall, what we're starting to see is that you can probably almost bank on some of the girls in certain positions. You can use them. I know a lot of people are using Isabel Kelly or Jess Sergis as their female center. And that seems to be a bit of a pattern that I think is going to continue across the comp. Is that something you're seeing so far as well, Paulie?
I think that is a thing, but I do think this year you can branch out a bit more even. And last year I know people were keen on Millie Boyle or Samoma Taufa if they were going to play a mid from NRLW, with maybe Georgia Hale as the outlier. But we're seeing some other players sort of come into contention. Now, obviously, Tonga Turkey plays as an edge. She had that big round one score. That kind of gives you a bit of way to be a bit flexible. In the centres, look, you know, it's quite interesting because there's quite a few centres in my eyes this year that could do well. It's not just Kelly and Sergis, but they're still my favourites. And then at wing fullback, you know, whether you're looking at probably Upton's due, you know, to come with a big one. But then the amazing one for mine, kind of like the men's, is these wingers. Chikai Whitfield went bananas. And it's just what we're seeing. It's a trend that's continued in the NRLW comp, where wingers are going bigger than fullbacks.
So in terms of wing fullbacks, you've got Ivania Polite, who's gone really well. She's probably up. She's right up there. She's leading the Dally M, everything like that. Tegan Berry's been really consistent, couple of tries. But as you said, Ja'Kyla Whitfield, 292 metres she ran last week. A 54-week one, 82-week two. So she's got some good performances. Yeah. But they are up against Canberra in Canberra. So that could be a bit of an issue.
I wouldn't be too worried about the matchup. But, yeah, again, you just it's a funny year, isn't it? We're really seeing these winners. They're coming to contend. It's good. It's good for fantasy that, you know, you, and Mixer that you can you don't have to go for a fullback every time. Like, you can kind of pick. There's a couple of big-time wingers and even centres that can put up those huge numbers as well.
One of the centres that I'm looking to go with this week, probably particularly against ones like Kelly and Sergis, I'm going to go Niall William-Guthrie in the centres this week. Each week she's got more and more confident. Now, she's Sonny Bill Williams' sister.
Yeah, that's right.
I imagine that bloodline doesn't just stop at the name. Like, she's pretty good.
She had a pretty good game on Thursday. It hasn't translated yet to those bigger fantasy scores, but if you're willing to take a punt, I'm probably still looking at one of the Roosters girls. Maybe I'll just make sure I set the alarm before they kick off to make sure that they're playing this week. You know, I don't know. Maybe that's playing it too safe. It's good to take a risk in Mixer.
The other one in terms that I'm seeing a lot of people play safe, I guess, in Mixer from the NRLW. So talking specifically NRLW for the moment, because that's kind of a bit of the unknown, but there seems to be a relatively consistent edge in Shania Powell.
Yeah, she's sort of gone up there to North Queensland, but she was putting up good numbers even last season, so... You know, no surprise that she's continued that. Also helping that all the new teams have at least had one win already.
Yeah.
So you look at the Edge, Pio, Togatuki, Power. They're all averaging over 50. All available on the Edge, even though the two Tigers girls are actually playing in the middle. So that's probably a bit of a cheat that you can get away with. We know we like to cheat in fantasy with the men. So why not do the same thing there and you know, get them or go. Tohu Harris, I think, is another one who's available on the Edge, even though they play middle. If you're going for a man there, and then it just opens up your middle. And I think the last position to talk about is just hooker, like how you play that, because that's the one position where it does look like that and half still looks like to be better to pick an NRL men's player, just because I think. Hookers, you know, their work rate and those extra 10 minutes in a game, I think that really
makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I think my first round,
there's a particular hooker for the men that I think most people are going to kind of run with. I think most people are going to run with this person and Cleary in the halves, and that's Cameron McInnes.
Yeah, well, I got on him last week, which was obviously a good timing, but I don't know if he can back that up. Hey, like that was a lot. That was a big work rate.
Yeah.
I just wonder if you're better off playing a bit of hooker roulette and trying to get on the one that's going to, whether you like Damien Cook this week or Harry Grant, who already had a good week last week at Corrosau. You know, Lachlan Croker's been going outstanding. Wade Egan's back this week for Warriors. Like, I don't know. I'd probably fade McInnes this week, personally.
So, Corrosau was one that I was looking at, Paulie, and we'll probably talk about a little bit more when we do the main fantasy chat. But with Little on the bench, I was a little bit nervous. But I did like the fact that he was kicking goals. So,
yeah, Corrosau, I think, was good. Yeah.
Sorry, Jake Simpkin, not Little. My apologies.
They used to both play, didn't they? That's right. So he's kicking the goals, which really makes up for the fact that Simpkin's not on the bench for now. Look, I'd probably be a bit shocked if that's the 17 that run out, to be honest. Yeah. I wouldn't be too worried about it. I don't think Simpkin plays a lot of a minute. Corrosau has to be on the field. The only time that it works against you is if the Tigers are getting a flogging. Because then you know Sheens isn't going to you know, like put his big names out there, he'll take them all off. He does it every time. It's a forgotten year, unfortunately, for my team in the men's. So it's happened a few times already, and it probably will happen again. Just hoping it's not this weekend, because I'm going to be down there and cheering on the women and the men.
It'll be good, those double headers. I'm going to the Cowboys Broncos double header. It'll be a lot of fun. Hey, Floggy.
Yeah, mate.
I noticed the LMC Discord mixer team's going pretty well. I think it's right up the top there.
Yeah, it did well. Did very well. Nice little change of how the regular side's going. it's done well. I think we picked up the magic combination of McInnes, Taufa, chucking the booster on. I think we put booster on Taufa and we boosted Cleary. So like that was the magic three, right? So
yeah,
that and we dodged the late rooster out, and we was pretty sweet, I think.
Yeah, beauty.
Well, and we had powers, I think, in there too. So it was just like the perfect combination. So we kind of, there was a few others who did that, but yeah, it looks like we did well.
I loved it. Loved it. All right. Well, let's get into some regular fantasy. Now, the biggest talking point this week is massively owned Jack DeBellin out for 4 weeks. This pretty much makes him a sell.
Yeah,
he's got to be a sell.
Yeah, he's very high price, so you should be able to get a good player from him. And the 4 weeks, yeah. So this is what happens at this time of year. Why you got to save a few trades up your sleeve because if you get hit with one of your stars out for the rest of the regular season, you've got to be able to pivot. Because you can't have that sitting on your bench. So this is an example of why everybody should be trying to hold a trade after using DeBellin. Obviously, if you've only got one left and you own DeBellin, you're probably using it this week. But even then, I mightn't use it, because if you already own Cleary, you probably can wait a week, because you never know who else is going to go down, and it might give you another idea of where to go.
Yeah.
But if you're going DeBellin to Cleary, I think that one makes sense, because Cleary's just got that too high an upside any given week that you want to be able to put the C on him, and the double points means you just need to get him in this week.
Foggy, is that what you're thinking, DeBellin to Cleary? Or, I mean, you've already got Cleary, so what are you going to do with DeBellin?
Well, I actually, like with where my season's gone, I don't have DeBellin, so... But it's definitely one that it's the benefit of having your gun, though, and who's still at the end of the season high priced anyway, where you have the ability to do maybe, I can't really say a like for like, but you've got the options of like Yo, Haas. We saw Horst have a few reduced minutes, but let's be honest, he's been running rampant since their last buy. So
yeah, Tarponet could be a good shout.
Tarponet's another one. But, I mean, there's been a lot of people kind of bouncing on him lately as well. Like, he was on the list of a few possible trade-outs. But I just think it's just so... the Raiders have changed up their lineup to try and make something happen. Obviously, they're in the eight, but their for and against is absolutely atrocious. So they're looking to try and hold themselves where they are. But they've got a good match-up this week. So whether that extends to who, we'll have to see. But surely, you know, I think this is probably a good week for Horst to kind of get back to his goods. Unless there's something underlying that we're not aware of, I haven't heard anything. But
Luke said on the show that Ricky just said he needed a quiet a week.
He probably
back to normal. Like, I think that, you know, they're managing. Everybody is getting in this habit now of managing players with a 27 round season.
Well, he didn't get some. I remember too, because he played Origin. So
that's right.
Yeah, that's right. He was the one. He's been running. Yeah, he's been running a lot of minutes for a long time.
It's his first full season where he's been an out and out starter playing big minutes. So it's going to take its toll. And look, we'll be watching him closely this week, because if he gets reduced minutes again, then it's going to give pause. But right now, it's very hard unless you've got sort of maybe 8 trades or at least 6 to trade out green dots because they're just too valuable.
Yep, absolutely. So I'm thinking adding Fenua Blake is probably the one I'm...
Yeah, it's a great shout.
Probably going to lean towards.
They're on the list of no more buys, right? So
that's right. Yeah. And the pod play coming off refreshed off the buy.
Yeah,
and not many people own him.
And him and Yao are the ones that they're the guys that a lot of work gets put out. It relates to them strongly, but not a whole lot owned.
And Yao could be rested still before the end. So AFB,
he's gone past where near the end of the season, James Fisher-Harris and Yao kind of switch up their roles a little bit just to kind of rest
it up.
Yeah, because the minutes kind of switched up a bit. One, I think it was last year and the year before, where they kind of they never do any other time, but near the end of the season, they kind of steal minutes from each other and they run a bit longer. They've got their forwards. They know how to do this. They're trying to get their three-peat, so they're obviously going to try and do it right. The only difference is, I guess, the fact that the Broncos are going so well. That they're kind of having to fight a little bit for that minor premiership, which is great. Yep. But I don't think it's going to help that little resting point, 26-27. We'll probably see a quieter game out of those blokes. So,
or even just the possibility of it, right? It might not happen, which is great if you own Penrith players, but if you're literally looking at Yo versus AFB and you're going, I can't split them, but that's the sort of casting vote, isn't it? Is it that might happen? It might not either, but just the fact it might. Whereas AFB would be very, they would have to fall into a scenario in round 27, the Warriors, where they cannot improve or sort of go back from their current position, which could happen, right? You can get to that stage in a season where someone literally can't finish any higher or lower than third or fourth.
True.
And then they might rest everyone, but it's pretty unlikely. Whereas the Penrith scenario, there's far more chance where that Yo gets rested before the finals. So I don't know. And I like the pod play. A lot of people have already picked up Yo. So even though it's still a pod, it's not as big a pod as AFB.
And we have seen that he's gone past too. And that's the key thing. Because obviously we can't tell what's going to really happen. So relying on the past 2 years when they've gone on grand finals, they have rested those guys. So
that's right.
We have nothing else. Exactly. So we haven't got anything else to rely on. So that's what we've got to consider.
We haven't seen anyone get 3 in a row in the NRL era.
Yep, 100%. So imagine they'll stick with what they've done in the past to try and get there. The other one that had a really good game last week is Pat Carrigan. Now,
outstanding.
Can you afford to have both Carrigan and Hast?
Well, I do, and it might cost me in round 25, but for now, see, I got a bit over cute bringing in Colquhoun, thinking, well, that will be my cover that round. It'll be worth it because Haas and Carrigan are putting up such big numbers that just having someone there that's getting a half decent score will be good enough. But now Colquhoun's on the bench, that might not eventuate for me, but definitely. If you've got enough mid cover, and some people might have got in on the McInnes train, and that's when I'm probably kicking myself I didn't. Maybe you do have enough mid cover there. But otherwise, if you've traded wisely, then maybe that's around 25 Carrigan, especially if he's back in the middle. He might not quite get the points he's been getting on the edge. It's a funny year, isn't it? We're seeing a lot of edges outscore middles. That doesn't happen by average, but the top edges this year are actually competing or even outscoring the top mids. So Carrigan has just added to that list. He's gone to the edge and he's done better. Nelson Asofa Solomona did that.
Yep.
Madison, I think you'll find a bit of a spoiler alert, but I think Ryan Madison could do that this week.
Yep. So there's all of these mids that we probably need to talk about. Yeah, you just touched on Ryan Madison. I guess if people don't own Hopgood, they could jump on Hopgood. The risk is that those guys play don't play round 27.
Well, Tim, this is exactly the learning curve of playing a fantasy comp where it's an odd. Like, we've done buys before, but we haven't done the odd numbers. So it's really been a learning curve to go, you know what? You need to have more trades up your sleeve. We can't be trying to compete. Oh, I'm going to lose 100 ranks. I better just make, you know, four trades every week. It's not a clever way to play, because right now, normally we'd be saying, yeah, bring in a Madison.
Yeah.
Because you'd have enough trades to get him back out again in round 27. But we know that nobody does. We know everybody's in the same boat. They have used up way too many trades.
Yep.
We can't recommend bringing Madison in when you've only got one or two left. But I can tell you now, I would be very surprised if he's not in the top 5 to 10 scorers this week for fantasy, and he's going to be a mixer standout for me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great shout. And then the one you did touch on, which if you have got a couple of trades up your sleeve, which you could do it as a bit of a cash down, is McInnes.
Well, Floggy, what do you think about McInnes? Because I'm a bit nervous.
Yeah, I mean, we saw what he did. Injuries on the weekend kind of turned into he kind of, like, we've seen him years gone past with the Dragons stepping up and really leading from the front. He used to be captains for the Dragons and he used to obviously not 81 tackles every week. That was also, I guess, kind of a game plan set from Cleary to kind of keep just running into him. Look, we could really see anything. I picked him up last week, so it worked out really well. But we've seen years gone past, he's got the motor, but it hasn't really been proven that much recently. So back in the day, maybe he could have kept this up for a little while. But we're really going to see this week because of the massive amounts of output he did last week gone. It's really going to be the...
points. If you got on him in the last couple of weeks, you're absolutely laughing. He should still get a 50. But what's the chance? What's the likelihood of that upside again? Especially when he was so tired. Like, he might have to play less minutes this week because he
You can't imagine he makes 80 tackles again, can you?
No. I don't think you can expect that. So I think if you're bringing him in the hopes of trying to get a discount. You know, Haas, Yo, Carrigan, like 80 point scorer plus week on week, it's not going to happen. But he's shown in the past that he can keep up high work rate in 80 minutes, but that was a few years back. The game was a lot slower. I can see him having a lot more of a spell this week. The only thing that he's going for him is the fact that they're battling to try and stay eight worthy.
Yeah, and playing dummy half is much easier than playing as a running.
Yeah,
exactly. And
that's when he was fantasy relevant, long, like week on week, he was still playing hooker.
Yeah. And the highlight, because he broke the record, the highlight's been on how many tackles he did, but he also had runs in that too. Like, he wasn't just literally a tackle bot, he was still running it as well. So... Look, they've got that. They've got the bunnies. If he's there and he's sitting in that mid spot, I can't imagine any game plan other than just keep running at the bloke. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, you know, you can't back that up.
100%. And for that reason, like, I think he will get a spell, because that's, like, how would that not be a game plan? And the combination of Williams going down when he did, it just kind of was a perfect... It was the perfect storm for McInnes to play big minutes. He stepped up because that's what he does. But yeah, we'll probably find he takes a bit of a back seat maybe this week. And I reckon there's going to be a lot of work up the middle this week by the bunnies.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely saying don't buy him this week personally.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're at the end of the season. Yes. You want to spend the money on some set and forgets now.
Yeah.
I get the reason for a discount for a good scorer, but like Paulie said, it's just point chasing. He's not going to get that workload every week because he just can't keep it up. So what you're doing is you're spending money on a bloke who's just worked his butt off, basically, and with the hopes that he can keep it up. No one can keep that up.
Yep.
There's a reason why why he broke a record by a lot as well.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing this week that people need to consider is their, I guess like every week has been all year, their wing fullbacks and their centres. Joey Manu didn't go well. Dylan Edwards didn't go well. Scott Drinkwater didn't go well. These are guys that we've kind of relied on and expected to do really well. Are you looking at, given the fact that where we are in the season, how wing fullbacks and centers have gone, are you guys looking at going, well, you just hold them? Or is it someone like a Manu in particular you might jump off? Or what are you kind of thinking around those guys?
Yeah, I'm going to be trying to do looping. I know some people are anti-looping, and that's fine. If you feel that way, I respect that. But personally, I'm more than happy to use the loopholes, and I'm going to be using them on my wing fullbacks. Now, this week, not much that I can do unless AJ's a late rule out, which could happen, which means maybe I'll literally put him into wing fullback, and then I can do a positional loophole, which is my favourite type of loophole for wing fullback. But I've got so many of them that I'm probably loopholing even my 18th man. He's going to be a wing fullback or a centre. And I recommend everyone to do the same thing because you just don't know which ones are going to go big. I think Teddy and Manu will have bounce back games and they first up, so I'm going to start them. I'm not going to loop them in game one. I'm going to look to later in the round for a loop. And I've got Buller who plays in the last game, so he can be my backup. If my loopers fail to fire, then I can always play Buller and just hope that he comes good against the Raiders, which I think's not a great matchup for him, but it's not the worst either.
What about you, Foggy? I know we've talked about previously how up and down the wing fullback and centre positions can be. Is that you going to kind of run that similar sort of plan as Paulie? Just hold on to them?
Yeah, especially this year, my biggest drama was I did spend up on winger fullback way too much, and it, to my detriment, it's kind of cost me quite a bit of rankings over the year. So I think for me it's just a real reshuffle and reminder that that's not where the points are this year.
Yep.
And year on year we've seen certain positions highlighted that get more of the points, and the people who win the comps are the ones who have got more of the guys who are really scoring those points, and that's where they spent their cash.
Yep.
If you've got some solid wing fullbacks and centres, and when I say solid, just the guys that, you know, the Manu, Lemu, Ponga, Teddy, Garrick, even Edwards. If you've got those guys already and you're seeing them scoring 20s and 30s and stuff, like you trade them out. It's just the floor of the position. That's the problem. And like what Paulie said, like they're the players that you need to loop. Now that we're at the end of this, like through the season, you've got your bench and you're growing strength in your bench and your run on side. And now you're at a position where really you want to be you want to be looping like those positions now rather than, you know, which cheapies you've got running at the moment. That's where you ideally want to be. And that's where you want to be, I guess, looping if that's what you're doing. So loop those spots and just worry about spending big on the halves, the mids, and the right types of edges, I guess.
Yeah. Most of your mids and edges should be pretty set unless someone big's on bye, like I've got Preston on bye this week, so I'm one short. But normally, yeah, some people even be in better shape, like Scotty. I know he's in really good shape.
Where do you sit on someone in, like, I know we're talking about, where do you sit on someone like a Dane Gagai, though?
Well, it's the same problem, you know.
Because he hasn't really had the bad games yet this year.
Oh, he has. He has.
He has had a couple. The difference is the Knights are on and up. They're my side and I'm very glad to see them up. And if they can keep it up, that's even better. I think it really just comes down to if Pong is going well and the Knights are going well, then Gagai will be. He hasn't been a whole, you know, he's just been a tackle bot. The games that he scored well and the Knights haven't gone so well, they just kept running the ball at him because that was their favourite attacking edge. That's why. Through the season, that's been, I guess, why you'd want to pick him up. But I just feel like there's more value. Now it's all about value for points, unless you really need the coverage. And even Paulie and Luke said it today. Be okay to run 16. Try and save those trades, because now we've got 5 weeks left. Most people have less than five trades. So that means you're counting on, at the very minimum, one injury a week. And as we've seen already this week, plus the buys on top of that, it's just not. It's just not doable. So now it's just trying to get your fingernails in and try and hold on as long as you can. So I just think you let a player like that go, really, unless you really, really feel like you've got it, or somehow you've managed to still hold heaps of trades. On paper, we thought Garrick would go really well on the weekend. He didn't. He has that centre positioning. So I just feel like you've got options there, that you've got DPPs, because that's really going to matter at the back end. So maybe look at blokes like a Garrick, even though they're off an okay score, but they're roughly that same price. So I just feel like you're going to find better value in a DPP player, as long as they're the right type of DPP player. And Manu has games like that. Lemu, completely not his fault. Like, HIA'd very, very early. Just can't, unavoidable. And let's be honest, he's got a green dot next to him, but yeah, under the rules, I mean, he's not really meant to be named. He's not meant to play. So we don't even know what's going on there either. Tago's there, for example. Don't know what's... He's on the extendeds. You know, there's enough guys out there, I think, that you're going to get some value. Sorry, Tago's not DPP, but I just feel like you're going to get more points from more
hold your trades, hold your trades.
Yeah.
And then if you do want to make a big hitter like a Jack DeBellin, get a half or a mid or an edge.
Exactly. You're spending overs to try and get a guy who, yes, has a higher average than others, but might only earn you an extra 10, 15 points. Or maybe he has an off game and has a really good one, but then we'll come down the next week perchance as well, because consistency is just not in that position. Whereas mids, halves, you do. So if you've got the cash, that's where you spend the money, right?
Well, I'll tell you what, you read out these scores the last round, top five, top 10, you had guys like Alex Johnston, Marion Sebi, Jason Saab, Kohler, you know, even guys like Lomax, which some people were on, they're not highly owned. Like, each week you could read out that top 10 for centres and wing fullbacks. That's both positions combined.
Yep.
And you're going to get, like, Philip Sammy was in the top 15, Brian Kelly. Yep. And these guys are good players. Like, they're good, like, NRL players. But you're not going to be able to bank on them doing that every week for your fantasy team. So just stick with whoever you got. Just go, all right, that's the way it goes. If there's two rounds to go and you just say, oh, I want to go Gago because he's got two great matchups the next two rounds, go for your life. But with five to go, you can't play roulette with wingers and centers. That's all you're doing.
Agreed. Because the middle of the season, we were talking about guys like Bird and Lemu.
Just hold
because them. But that was because of their positioning. So you're kind of getting the advantage of a forward in a position that's fairly volatile, which we thought would be the whole season. But as we've seen, Bird's injury. Well, now Lemu's injury as well. There's not those guys now that have that. Like, if I was going to say anyone, if Bird was good and healthy, I would probably say Bird would be the exception to that rule. But he's not. He's not there. The injuries kind of have ruined that. We saw what happened with Lemu with the HIA. So now he's on watch with an injury cloud. I just think you might be wasting your money, and it might work out really, but you're rolling the dice with a very high, depending on the player, very low floor position. So the low, like wing and fullback and centres have got the lowest floor compared to all the other positions. So why would you spend your money there when there's no consistency?
100%. I don't know if we missed anyone, Paulie. It feels like this week is all about the mids that you can get in or the guns that you can get in using Jack DeBellin's cash.
Yeah, if you've got enough trades and you want to go cheap, I still think that you could get away with a Dan Russell. I'm a bit nervous with Bird and Murdoch, and we'll see what they do now, because DeBellin was named. But definitely...
Holmes has come back, unsuccessful for the downgrade, and he's going to miss the four.
So he now misses all the rest of the regular season for the Cowboys?
Wow.
Yep. Because they've got... Oh, do they have a bye?
They have a bye.
So there you go. So that adding that in, that's the five. So basically, if you've got Valentine Holmes, you're going to have to move on him too. So
yeah. So I'll be watching both Munro and Piacoro if they end up actually playing. But it's probably too hard to bring in. Dan Russell is another guy who you probably can take a punt on. And then you're really scraping the barrel. Whether you went, you know, a lot of people are keen on Wade Graham, but it's not really happening for him. And, there's not a lot there. So if you're trying to downgrade and you don't want to go a guy who is who's a non-player, because, you know, that's the other option, you go a non-player, it's pretty tricky. Maybe like even a Talis Duncan, but, geez, he might not get it barely any minutes.
See, yeah, I reckon there's really only one non-player that you can get, because there's no way he comes back into the side, and that's Josh Reynolds. But
yeah, it's not. You really need to get a wing fullback center, and that's why Nick Kotrick was going to be good, but he's been named this week, so it's ruined that idea if you wanted a non-player. Because what we were hoping when we were talking about this a few weeks ago, Scotty and I, was that he was non-player for you for a few weeks, and then maybe in round 26 or 27 he gets named when you might be down to 16, and suddenly your NPR is playing and you get those points. But he hasn't been able to make it that far because he's 220. So I guess that would be the guy I'd probably just take an absolute, you know, throw the dart at and pick up Nick Kotrick this week if I'm just trying to downgrade so I can go up and get whoever I want. I'd probably do it with Nick Kotrick and then just kind of hope it all works out.
Yeah.
Well, what do we do now just with the news on Holmes? Like his ownership was on the up. So what would you say to do with Holmes?
I think you just got to hold, if you've got Garrick and Manu, I think you've just got to hold those two in your centres and probably you've probably got three wing fullbacks as well. If you were playing it like Luke, who doesn't own Holmes but was definitely going thin at centre and winger deliberately, then that's where the Dane Gagai shout would be interesting because no more buys and they're on a bit of an up.
Farnworth was another one.
And then the Stags or Farnworth. I think the two Brisbane centres. The only problem is obviously they've still got a buy in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, it's obviously tough, but Garrick and Marnie will probably be everyone's centre combos now with between the Tungo injury and the Holmes suspension, unless somebody takes that pun on Gagai.
Can I throw something
back?
Yep. Throw one at you, Paulie, just as a interesting one. How long's Will Kennedy out for?
Are you thinking Connor Tracy?
I am.
Yeah, if the Sharks were playing better, I could be tempted into that, but a bit nervous. I mean, even you and Aitken, these are roughies out, you know, like this.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one in that. Especially if, you know, you probably, you know, one I would consider is Zach Lomax.
Yeah, I really like it.
He's just so expensive, though.
Yeah.
Mm. He's 700K now.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Lomax, if I knew he was playing fullback, I'd be very keen.
He's only played there a couple of times, I think, and they didn't pull him off. But I think it was injury, or it was only a minor injury to Dufty or whatever it was. They were juggling things up, and they didn't quite click. But he scored well in fantasy while he was there.
I think it's home. I think it's got to be then home 680 across to the 668 of Dane Gagai. I just think that makes the most sense. I mean, Matt Timoko's cheaper. Do you still own him, Tim?
Yeah, I managed to keep him for now and run through with him. He's kept going all right, so.
Yeah, I mean, that could be your cut price. Or I know people are more Farmworth than Stags, but far out Stags has got some nice upside.
Yeah.
That would be my real, like, save 150K if you went Holmes to Stags.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I don't know, you can go too wrong there. It's just going to be one of those try and plan out your matchups. Make sure if you go for a Broncos center, make sure you've got the cover in round 25, because you don't want to trade one of them in to then be needing to do another trade in 2 weeks' time.
If you owned Holmes and Averillo, you know, that then it makes sense, because obviously Averillo out this week, but back next week, and you see, it means you probably got a Garrick or a Manu already. Yep. Like, you probably had that third center, but you still need a third center, you know, then it kind of works.
Yep. All right.
One interesting one, as you brought up with the Kennedy injury, and the Sharks not playing well, is if Hines, if they do try to potentially change things up, Hines used to play half fullback, and they've got two halves sitting there. Is that something that we see as well?
Could he go the Munster route from late last year, where Munster brought up some big fantasy numbers playing as a fullback, but was still playing halfback in attack? You know,
something just, potentially that might turn the Sharks around too, because what's going on at the moment isn't quite working for them. Especially, you know, it's kind of unavoidable with kind of the combination of Origin and stuff going on with his mum as well. Seen Hines really dip, so.
Yeah, if I was Craig Fitzgibbon and Hines came to me and said, "Oh, coach, I'm thinking I should do this," I'd be going, "So glad you asked, mate. Let's go." Yeah. But if he didn't come and ask, I'd probably just leave it, because I'd be worried about making life tougher for him.
Well, I'm kind of making that decision for him in a way of, look, this is, whereas, you know, you don't want to take the trust away from him and say, look, I want you at the back.
Yeah, you want him to offer it. Like Moen Ali, number three for cricket, you know, in England. It's like, you beauty. Yep. That's what we needed, you know. They need Hines at one, but they need him to kind of come and say, I want to do it.
Well, it's been mentioned, like NRL 360 mentioned it, I think it was today or yesterday, they mentioned it. So it's getting spoken about in a public forum as well. So perhaps that might be something we see, even potentially, this weekend we might see a late change, or even just throughout the game, depending on how the game's going. Maybe they just try it, give it a shot. Never know. So just to throw it out there, just for Hines owners. But the reason why I say it is because Hines is on the most traded out list this week, guys.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's outrageous. I'm guessing, especially with the DeBellin. Especially with DeBellin, the most people owning DeBellin. That just makes sense to me.
Like, I'm guessing the reason is for those going to Cleary, perhaps. They're doing it. But I think,
What if Cleary goes down next week and everyone.
100%. 100%.
Like, it's too many variables.
Yep. And let's be honest.
This time last year, Cleary got suspended.
Yeah. Hines has had. Hines has had just as many good. He's had more good games than Cleary this year. So,
yeah.
Until a couple of weeks ago, you know, you'd say he was the fantasy number one. But you know, life's short, life's hard at the top, and now he's not.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Not really sure there's too much else. I know Fifita owners are going to be happy. He'll keep putting up relatively good scores, but there's not too much else going on in the fantasy world. There's no out and out pods that are kind of jumping out in any position. So,
Hands not being named, so a bit of a weird one. I mean, owners have kind of made coin on him. Like, I'm sure they would have hoped he stayed there the whole time, but just, I think, you've got to, like, he misses out the last week anyway, so I'm sure people aren't in a position now where Hines is your out and out only hooker. So at the moment, I'm not running any hooker cover. Dangerous.
And he's such a tricky price.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
Yeah, I think there's no good price. He's a good cut. You know, trade down and make some cash. But again, you've got to have probably five trades left. I think if you have five trades left, you can make that. Hands down to a Russell or down to a Kotrick this week, and then just have that money banked for next week. But look, it's almost done us a favour, because he's a break even of 40. By not getting named at all, he keeps his price. He doesn't go down in price, and it means you just can wait another week to go, what next? Because what am I going to get hit with next week that I'm going to need to pivot? you know, and the longer it goes where you've got a good core nucleus, then the easier it is to sell hands and try and, you know, just convert to someone who's on, you know, we've seen it enough the last few weeks. Guys come in, they get some good scores. You might get to round 27 and you might be able to convert hands, you know, to somebody, or maybe not that late, but, you know, like around 25, and you might be able to go, I'll convert him now, and that person can be a looper for me, that someone that might have some good games at that price. Or if you've got enough trades left, you did a dual trade where you're trading him. Like, I still own Buller, you know. So Buller and hands could get me a Fifita and a Kotrick.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There is one person... You go, Ollie.
I was just going to say, look, if hands is your biggest issue this week, though, like, you've done some real, you know, matrix dodging to manage that. Like, you've absolutely lucked it, because there's a lot of people.
Scott Baldwin's got 21 green dots.
Yeah, so that's
remarkable.
It is, but, like, you've just, for that reason, though, you've also missed out on DeBellin for how long, you know?
Yeah, so,
like,
sorry, 21 after trading DeBellin.
Right.
I don't think he's trading to Cleary, but... Yeah, he would be trading DeBellin out to get the 21 greens.
Right.
But, yeah, so pretty remarkable. Most people do not.
Yeah, at this stage, you don't have the trades to be trading in hands unless, like, you know, if you're running 14 players or lower.
Yeah, then you have to.
Yeah.
And then you're looking
then
at
it. Got to trade.
And then the unfortunate thing, the best low to mid-price players are all Bulldogs, like Kiraz and Avarillo.
Yes. Yeah.
They're not playing this round, so you can't
even
do it.
There is one that's right there that would be a reasonable shout. He's a little bit above Hans's price, and that's Matt Lodge.
Yeah, good shout. Ross already got him. So And that's the type of player that you would do that conversion to, because you know he can just hit a 50, and wow, imagine having a guy that everyone else has run out of trades, and your last trade you've picked up a Matt Lodge, it's just belting out 50s to the end of the season. Like, that's gold. A lot of people are going to be running guys like me. I'll be running potentially at some point Tefara, you know, in my team if I keep coughing injuries and suspensions and running it. I've still got a couple of trades, but, you know, like, I'm prepared for that if I to the back end that Tefara might have to be in my 17. You know, if someone's got Matt Lodge, well, they're laughing.
Yep. So he is about 50k more, but he's possibly not a bad shout for the run home. But I do like those Bulldogs guys that you mentioned around Kiraz. Kiraz has been really good since going into the centres. So he could be one next week. And what did I see before? I think I saw, was it Dylan Edwards? It was 540.
Yeah, if you got 100k spare, then
Dylan Edwards is 540.
That's another one. Even though we're normally anti picking up wing fullbacks, like, again, if you're just taking a punt, the only fear is, again, with Edwards, because he didn't play Origin, he's played every game, so I could see Ivan saying, you know what, my Origin guys have actually had quite a bit of rest, but. And Nathan's had rest because he was injured, but Dylan hasn't. So I think I'll just rest Dylan this week. So that would be my only fear on that.
Well, not only that, we saw on the weekend the masterclass that Cleary put on, the amount of ball they had. Edwards didn't have that ball as well. So if, like, we only scored 19 on the weekend. So, out of all the sides, you'd say, you know, don't bank on them, you know, putting on large scores. But I guess the Penrith, you've got to consider that, look, they could blow it out again. And, look, the matchup's a lot stronger, so maybe, you know, Edwards will see a lot more ball. But, you know, you've got to consider that. We're not just looking at next week now. When you're making trades, you've got to consider for the rest of this season. Their matchups, they've got some strong ones and they've got some really weak ones too. So might see Edwards in that position where he's really getting these lower scores. He kind of, in that kind of second gear when they versed the Bulldogs the week before last, Edwards got a lot more involved during that and picked up that slack a little bit. But obviously we saw on the weekend he didn't need to, so he didn't. I don't know. I think Edwards, same thing. Got a solid number. But the floor is there for every single wing fullback, and every single one's had it this year. So,
Yep. All right. Well, I reckon we just about call that as done, Floggy.
Yeah, cool.
Well, I can't, and I say that because I can't think of anyone that we missed. There's going to be a couple of things there, especially for DeBellin owners and Holmes owners. They're probably the big ones. Everything
just
else.
Just give you, Captain, is it Cleary or Bust or Cleary? And if you don't own Cleary, insert name here. Finish.
Yeah, just go with the strong guys. Like I feel like at this point, you don't want to be risking it too much.
Cleary, Ponga, Haas.
Yeah.
Maybe Yo could be interesting.
Yeah. I'd have some sort of combination of that. Sean Johnson's probably one this week that wouldn't be a bad shout.
I don't mind that because I don't like the matchup with Cleary's. Like I'll probably still captain him just out of fear, but the predictor definitely has Johnson going much higher than Cleary this week.
And also this week, I don't know about Ponga either. We're seeing Bennett, seeing what Bennett would do to shut him down. So I don't know. Like he has been going on both sides of the field now. So he's running a lot more. And he's a lot more confident, and the side's playing to Ponga. But Bennett is Bennett for a reason. They call him the master coach for a reason. And we've seen games gone past where they have managed to shut him down. So I think it'll be interesting. It's away from home, so there's no real home advantage. It's over in Perth, different climate, seeing how they travelled, whole bunch of stuff. So for me, I don't know. I don't know about Ponga this week. I think it could be really he could score really well, or he could just really score average.
Yep. All right. That will do. Let's wrap that up. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this week. Make sure you get your team together for Bunny Mixer, or make sure you trade well this week. Get the best out of the last couple of weeks. I know there's a couple of guys in our Discord that are running very low on trades. They're going to be in for some pain for the next 4 or 5 weeks as they finish up. Other than that, bye for now. See you next week.